Welcome to ID the Future. The following talk is by John West, Associate Director of the Center for Science and Culture. Dr. West will be discussing social implications stemming from a Darwinian approach to explaining human origins. It was recorded at a recent Science and Human Origins conference. Here's Dr. West.
Science and Human Origins, Why It Matters. The year was 1831. Charles Darwin was 22 years old. A recent college graduate, he wanted to explore the ecosystems of the world. So he joined the expedition of the HMS Beagle in its voyage to South America and beyond. 2 months later, he found himself walking in the midst of a Brazilian rainforest. Confronted by the beauty, Darwin experienced an overwhelming sense of awe. Surely, he thought, man was more than a mere animal, and there was some greater purpose behind nature than mere physical survival. Sadly, Darwin's sense of awe about nature and about human beings in particular was not to last. Fast forward to the ending chapter of his life. As he wrote his autobiography, he reflected on his earlier sense of awe and sense that human beings were more than just mere animals. And he wrote that now, not even the grandest scenes in nature would inspire him to such a view. Why? Well, he went on to explain that the evidence of exquisite design and purpose he once saw in nature failed now that he had discovered his law of natural selection. Ideas have consequences, and Darwin's theory has had, and continues to have, huge consequences for how we view nature, and more importantly, for how we view and how we treat our fellow human beings. To understand this huge impact of Darwin's theory on human beings, we need to remind ourselves again of the two main prongs of his theory. First, Darwin proposed that all creatures, including humans, have descended with modifications from an original, simple, primordial organism. Second, he proposed that human beings and the rest of nature were produced by this process of natural selection, or survival of the fittest, acting on random variations in nature. The process of natural selection was supposed to be blind and unguided. According to Darwin, it was supposed to be a substitute for intelligent design. Now, to Darwin and many others, the first prong of his theory, common descent, suggested that there was no fundamental difference between human beings and the rest of nature. In the words of Darwinian philosopher Peter Singer at Princeton, Darwin showed in the 19th century that we are simply animals. Humans had imagined we were a separate part of creation, that there was some magical line between us and them. Darwin's theory undermined the foundations of that entire Western way of thinking about the place of our species in the universe. Now, Peter Singer thinks that happens to be a good idea, a good contribution. I have a bit of a different view. The second prong of Darwin's theory, natural selection, meanwhile, suggested to many supporters of the theory that we were not the intentional creation of a loving creator, but the unintentional product of a blind and purposeless process. In the words of the late Harvard paleontologist George Gaylord Simpson, man is the result of a purposeless and natural process that did not have him in mind. Not only was the Darwinian process blind, it was also ruthless. Human beings, according to Darwin, gained their highest capacities not because those capacities were planned by a beneficent creator, but because natural selection ruthlessly killed off those who didn't measure up. It really can't be emphasized enough how much Darwin, inspired by Thomas Malthus, enshrined death and the struggle for existence as the great engines of progress. As he wrote in his book On the Origin of Species, thus, from the war of nature, from famine and death, the most exalted object which we are capable of conceiving, namely the production of the higher animals, directly follows. Not from design, not from purpose, not from creative artistry, but the highest exalted objects that we are capable of conceiving, the production of the higher animals, which in which he includes us, came from war, famine, death. We were created by war, famine, death. So, what has been the impact of Darwin's theory on our culture's understanding of human beings? Well, atheist philosopher Daniel Dennett has famously compared Darwin's theory to a universal acid that dissolves everything it comes into contact with. Now, Dennett, again, views this as high praise. I don't. But I do think he has a point. Darwinism has functioned like a universal acid, dissolving many of our traditional beliefs, and this is especially true when it comes to our beliefs about humans and our beliefs that humans are unique and especially valuable. I'd like to touch on just four key beliefs about humans that Darwin's theory, I think, has attempted to dissolve. First is the reality of mind. Since the dawn of civilization, humans have considered themselves the thinking creatures, beings who are capable of pursuing the truth because we can deliberate and think rather than simply act according to brute instinct. But as C.S. Lewis pointed out, Darwinian theory, if you take it seriously, destroys our very grounds for trusting the human mind. According to the Darwinian view, says Lewis, reason is simply the unforeseen and unintended byproduct of a mindless process at one stage of its endless and aimless becoming. Lewis went on to explain why this poses a difficulty for us trusting our minds. If my own mind is a product of the irrational, if what seem my clearest reasonings are only the way in which a creature conditioned as I am is bound to feel, how shall I trust my mind when it tells me about evolution? Interestingly, Darwin himself was troubled by how his theory undermined, or seemed to undermine, why we should even trust our minds. In a letter from 1881, Darwin wrote,
"But then with me the horrid doubt always arises whether the convictions of a man's mind, which has been developed from the mind of the lower animals, are of any value or at all trustworthy. Would anyone trust in the convictions of a monkey's mind, if there are any convictions in such a mind?"
It's interesting that Darwin didn't ponder this more, the implications of it. Those who have, like contemporary philosopher Thomas Nagel, an atheist, have come to the conclusion that this poses a real problem for Darwinian theory. And so Nagel, in 2012, sort of rocked the academic world and the media world by coming out with his book, Mind and Cosmos, that rejected Darwinian theory precisely because he thought it undermined itself by destroying our confidence in humans as rational beings. Again, if our minds were created from a fundamentally non-rational process that was not designed to allow the mind to ascertain truth, then how can we even trust our judgments about evolution or anything else? It really destroys our confidence in the mind. And for Thomas Nagel, who still remains an atheist but not a materialist, that was a defeater for Darwinian theory. Okay. The second sort of belief about humans that Darwinian theory has acted as a universal acid is the reality of morality. Darwin depicted morality not as something permanent or transcendent, but something simply as those behaviors and beliefs favored by natural selection because they promoted physical survival under a given set of environmental circumstances. In the Darwinian view of ethics, morality radically changes over time based on the changing conditions for physical survival. So in some situations, parental love might promote survival better, and so that becomes moral. But if selective infanticide promotes survival better, say if you have overpopulation, then that becomes moral. It's not an accident that the scientist who most popularized the idea that our sexual ethics are relative was in fact a Harvard-trained Darwinian zoologist. His name was Alfred Kinsey. Really, in his approach to human sexuality was a very Darwinian one that he learned as a training as a zoologist.
This lecture was recorded at a Science and Human Origins conference in the fall of 2014. The conference featured John West, Casey Luskin, Anne Gager, and Rick Sternberg talking about the fossil, genetic, and social issues surrounding the debate over human origins. We will be featuring these speakers on future episodes of ID the Future. For more information, please visit idthefuture.com. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2014. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.